You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Happy New Year! It is December, and our holiday special story is Super Spy Science Secret Santa. This is the last installment, the last two chapters, and I'm not going to tell you what new serial we'll be starting with next week. I will leave that as a surprise. Super Spy Science Secret Santa, Chapter 7, Q versus Stiletto. Agent Stiletto was recovering in hospital from multiple bullet wounds, but that did not prevent her from sporting the bright red and green quilted jacket with 47 different pockets, each featuring some small depiction of a felt animal in Christmas colours. It was a work of low-key genius at war with himself. It jingled with her every movement. "I see you overcame your distaste of festive frivolity, Q," she observed, as Quentin entered the room with a modest and entirely appropriate bouquet of flowers to cheer up her convalescence. "It was an emotional journey," he admitted calmly. "I particularly like the part of the emotional journey where you filled several of the pockets with fake snow and sugary treats." She nibbled on a candy cane. "How is the Christmas party?" "Unnecessary as ever," said Quentin. He placed the flowers on the shelf beside her bed. "How are your bullet wounds, Agent S?"
"Non-fatal."
"Best kind?" "Well, that depends on which side you're on." She gave him a rare, brief smile. "Yes. Best kind. Thank you for my gift. It cheered me up." "It only inspired a brief existential crisis in my tormented soul. I'd take that as a win if I were you." They sat in the kind of comfortable silence that Quentin rarely developed with his other colleagues and friends. It was one of many reasons that he valued Agent Stiletto so highly. She ruined it all 3 minutes later by opening her mouth. "I assume you received a gift? I don't want to talk about it." Her eyes gleamed with amusement. "But don't you want to know who gave it to you?" "I've worked that out by a process of elimination, thank you. What I don't know is why." Quentin broke off. "Well," said Agent Stiletto, biting her candy cane in half, despite the risk to her excellently straight teeth. "You are in R&D, aren't you? Start with research and see what develops." "I'm beginning to suspect you were in on this Secret Santa nightmare with Fern all along," Quentin accused. Agent Stiletto patted her new jacket fondly. "So many pockets. I knew you'd make me something nice." "I'm leaving now," he told her. "Room 007, he requested it specially. "I didn't ask." Agent Stiletto continued to eat her candy cane, looking smug. "You are no longer my favourite," Quentin told her haughtily as he left the hospital room. "Well, I'd hope not," her voice floated after him. Chapter 8, Q versus Q. Quentin walked up and down the corridor, outside the door that, yes, did have a special label on it saying 007, clearly put there by an overenthusiastic nurse because Agent Eggplant was the sort of ridiculous person who had favours like that done for him all the time, simply for asking nicely. "You don't have to go in," Quentin told himself sternly. "That's true," said a voice from inside the room. "But my feelings will definitely be hurt if you don't." Quentin blew out an impatient puff of air and let himself into the hospital room. Agent Eggplant had, according to the incident report, fractured his leg in two places during a getaway in a speedboat and suffered a mild concussion. Notable damages included a weaponized laser watch, a pair of radio-controlled cufflinks, and a Wi-Fi enabling tuxedo jacket along with his left femur. Quentin had to admit, he'd been worrying quite a bit about that left femur. Now that he was in the same room as Agent E, however, he was distracted from his worry by the new holiday jumper that the agent was sporting. It was white and silver, with jolly snowmen and twinkling lights. It didn't even fit properly. It was a travesty, especially when you considered it didn't make him even slightly less attractive than when he was wearing ordinary clothes. Surely that wasn't normal. Perhaps the jumper was fitted with some kind of hallucinogen. He could actually use that in his work. Too late, he realised that Agent Eggplant had been talking. It was possible he had said something very important while Quentin was mesmerised by sequins and snowmen. "Sorry," he said. "Is there any chance you could take off that jumper? I find it very distracting. Also, it's the middle of summer." Agent Eggplant blinked. "I'm not wearing anything underneath this jumper," he said cautiously. "Ah," said Quentin. "I retract the request," he added hastily. "If you say so," said the agent, his hands hovering at the waistband as if at any moment he might comply. His cheeks were quite pink. Possibly this was from wearing jumpers in the middle of summer, like a crazy person. "How was the Christmas party?" "It was a party," said Quentin. "They're all much the same. They spent too much on catering to justify it in the monthly budget, and tinsel got everywhere, like everywhere, in the drinks, in the sandwiches. It was far too much tinsel." He lapsed into awkwardness. "Also, you weren't there," he muttered. "So you missed me," said Agent Eggplant, looking delighted. "Well, I was used to the idea that you and the other agents were going to be there," Quentin said defensively. "And then you and Agent Stiletto weren't. It was concerning. Also, you got hurt," he added, all at once, which he hadn't meant to comment on at all. "Only a bit," said Agent Eggplant, patting his leg. "Stiletto got the worst of it. And I filled in all the equipment damage forms," he added eagerly. "In triplicate." "Yes," said Quentin. "I appreciated that." They lapsed into silence again. It was a much less comfortable silence than the one Quentin usually enjoyed with Agent Stiletto. Coming into this room was clearly a terrible mistake. "Agent Stiletto enjoyed the gift you made for her," said Agent Eggplant, staring at the ceiling. His cheeks were extra pink again. "Pockets," Quentin agreed. "Apparently women appreciate them. Platonically," he added, in case that was not crystal clear. "Yes, I hear women have many platonic feelings about pockets," Agent Eggplant agreed. "So, get anything good yourself in the Secret Santa?" Quentin's eyes narrowed. "I know it was you." "I didn't say anything," Agent Eggplant protested. "It's supposed to be secret. Not after you give the gift. Besides, it was clearly one of the people who weren't at the party." "You don't know that?" "And Agent Stiletto pretty much told me it was you." "Ah," said Agent Eggplant. Quentin shrugged, feeling bashful. "I guessed anyway. There aren't many people in Q-Lab who'd think to get me a scale model of the spacesuit in 1979's Moonraker, signed by the costume designer." "How could people not know that about you?" said Agent Eggplant, only partly teasing. "Also, the last Hollywood auction of James Bond memorabilia was over 8 months ago, coinciding with a certain top-secret LA mission." Quentin stared intently at Agent Eggplant. "Really? You bought it 8 months ago?" "I saw it, and I thought of you," muttered the handsomest secret agent in the history of Australian espionage. Quentin sat on the edge of the hospital bed, rather suddenly. I honestly don't know what to do with this information." "You could agree to come out for a drink with me sometime," said Agent Eggplant, looking genuinely hesitant, as if he thought he was living in a world where
Quentin might not say yes to that.
I don't know, said Quentin slowly. Will you be wearing a Christmas jumper?
That depends on whether you want to wait until January for our first date, said Agent Eggplant. The holiday jumpers go into a drawer on January 1st.
I don't think I want to wait, said Quentin, lacing their fingers together.
Agent Eggplant brightened.
I have this one that's like Christmas dragons. It's sort of Harry Potter themed.
There was a time when I genuinely thought you were suave and sophisticated, Quentin informed him, squeezing the agent's hand.
That's only for work, Agent Eggplant said dismissively. And it's mostly the clothes. I have this super smart scientist who makes all the best gadgets for my wardrobe. Makes me look smoother than I really am.
Huh, said Quentin. He sounds great. You should date him.
They both moved in a little closer, drawn into each other's orbit. It only slightly disturbed Quentin that he was about to kiss a person who was voluntarily wearing a jumper with sparkly snowmen on it. It was possible he was getting used to the jumpers. Exposure therapy or something.
I don't know your name, he thought to say, an inch away from Agent Eggplant's enticing mouth.
That's more of a third date revelation, said Agent Eggplant, leaning a fraction closer. I'm a secret agent. I need to preserve the mystery.
You need to tell me right now if it's Egbert, said Quentin.
I'm going to need time to come to terms with it. If it's Egbert.
It's not Egbert, said Agent Eggplant.
And finally, his mouth was on Quentin's, and all was right with the world. It turned out he was totally lying about his name not being Egbert. But by the time Quentin found that out, he was in far too deep to care. The end. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. Come back next week for a brand new Sheep Might Fly serial. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week and next year. 2020, here we come.